Welcome to another episode of That's a Rep. I am your host, Jason. Jay and Dre are on this episode because they're both of their significant other's birthdays. So you know what? I'm going to let them have their time with their significant others. But for today, my God, am I excited. I have the one, the only. Wait, I have something for this.
If you smell what the Adam is cooking.
Yes. I have the one, the only, the man, the myth, and the legend himself, Adam Corsair from the South of the Six podcast. How are you doing, my friend? I hope you like the introduction because to us, you are the rock of the Toronto Raptors landscape. How are you, brother?
Finally.
Yo, I'm doing, first of all, that was awesome. That was so awesome. I've never been introduced with the Rocks theme music, and if there's someone that is the complete polar opposite of me in terms of body type, it'd be the Rock. So I'm flattered that, you know, so in someone's visual interpretation of what I look like now, from now on, I'm going to look like the Rock to them.
But you don't have the Brahma Bull tattoo on your bicep, bro?
I can put it in Sharpie. If that, you know, make it a little bit more legitimate, but
yeah,
you know, I'm doing well, man. Thank you. Nice. I wish I was doing as well as Jokic during this pandemic season.
Oh, damn, he is skinny.
Dropped like 100 pounds, dude. It's ridiculous.
It's the big man coming back to be skinny man now. Like, you got Marc Gasol, you got, yeah, he does like Porzingis. Apparently, Luka Doncic isn't in good shape. Have you heard about that?
No, it doesn't surprise me. He had a little bit of pudge, so it doesn't surprise me.
I guess so. But yeah, so we have the man, the myth, and the legend, and of course the Brahma Bull himself, Adam Corsair. And we are going to talk a little about some NBA, you know, these bubble boy players who probably don't want to play and, you know, willing, it's probably a good idea. And also, we're going to do a little, some fun Disney characters, some NBA comparisons after the break. But first, let's talk about the NBA right now. And I know that you already had your podcast you had with, I believe it was Pick and Pod, and it was as well as your own South of the Six podcast. And if you don't know what South of the Six is, please just go check that out on iTunes and all your podcasts. I guarantee you will not be, you will not be mistaken. Adam is the best. But I want to talk to you. I want to ask you about the NBA. What are your thoughts about the NBA possibly returning with this 22-team format, these 13 teams in the West, 9 in the East, possible regular season tune-up games, would you say, with the possible start on the July 30th? And then this is what gets me kind of confused, this possible tournament, this play-in tournament with the 9th seed and the 8th seed. But before we get into that, what were your thoughts, your initial thoughts of when you heard the news that the NBA is possibly coming back?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you think.
It doesn't matter.
This is going to go on the entire episode.
It has to now. You set the stage. No, sure. It doesn't matter if I did, you know, a podcast episode about this yesterday or an hour ago. This thing, it constantly changes, right? The state of things is constantly evolving, constantly changing. So for me, it's kind of hard to get a grip on things, right? It's kind of hard to sit back and have any sort of legitimate analysis as to, you know, what's going to happen with the NBA season and how the players are going to take this. From what I'm understanding, the majority of players seem to be on board, or at least the majority of players haven't vocalized not being on board. There have been a small handful of players, i.e. Damian Lillard, Melo, that have been saying things like, I don't know, it might not be worth it. And I think that's because of where they're like positioned in the playoffs and maybe the circumstances. I'm sure we're going to get into that later, of where they're staying and their family and whatnot. But for me, it just seems like kind of a cluster. It seems a little bit forced, but it goes twofold. I understand why it needs to be forced, because I understand the NBA needs to make revenue. It is a business, after all. People need to be paid. It's not like they just have money, billions of dollars in the bank, ready to, you know, explode for paychecks. So I understand that aspect. But on the other hand, I'm very conscious of the fact that states like Florida and states like Arizona have been seeing a huge spike in COVID cases, and it's got to be related to the fact that they're opening up their respective economies rather quickly, amongst other states too. So I understand the fear and I understand the apprehension when it comes to the players playing in a state like Florida, even if it is in a bubble, things tend to creep in. So for me, it's kind of like, I'm not sure that the NBA is doing enough to really address the concerns, and it seems a little bit rushed. Mm-hmm. And that's my, you know, analytical side. My selfish side is just give me basketball, man. Right.
No, I'm definitely on the same page with you. It's like beggars can't be choosers. Like the fact that they have this whole plan of like the whole 22 teams and possible tune-up games. And I wish Jay was here because he would tell me more about like the numbers game. But all I know is that if they played these certain amount of games, one, it would give this the NBA players kind of like them to get back into the rhythm of things. And also mm-hmm. It saves up about $300 million or something because if they scrap the entire season, they would have lose, I believe, approximately like $800 million. So like they're not getting as much money back, but at least they're kind of, you know, it doesn't hurt as much to these players and to this league. So I understand where they're coming from as well. What I don't get is why have so many teams in there? Because I know that in the beginning it was, let's just scrap it, let's just go the 16 teams. But now we got 22 teams, 13 in the West, 9 in the East. Do you really want to see Phoenix in there? Do you really want to see Washington in there? And especially with that like play-in tournament too. You got, if the 9th seed is 4 games or less behind the 8th, they have to play this play-in tournament where the 9th seed has to win twice, or the 8th seed gets to win once before they get shellacked by the first overall seed. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really see the point of it, but I guess that's where it comes with, like, you know, that you want to have those tune-up games. I know that a lot of leagues that, like, such as like soccer leagues, MLS leagues, they're all coming back too, and I think UEFA leagues are coming back overseas, and a lot of players have already been injured because they're going straight into it after 3 months of not playing. So I understand that they have to have a tune-up, but what do you think about that play-in tournament, that weird 9-8 seed play-in tournament?
They didn't deserve it. Like, they didn't,
right,
they,
exactly, that's what I'm thinking as well. If yeah. you're not in it, then you're not in it, and like, it's basically saying that just try to make it to the ninth and you can have a chance. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, they didn't earn it, and to me, I understand the circumstances of the season are rather bizarre. You know, the when have we dealt with the pandemic before, and how right. could you predict this? So I understand that for the argument in favor of these teams playing, it would go something like, hey, these teams had a shot, and mathematically, numerically, they did have a shot to get mm-hmm. there if the season played out normally. But at the same time, are we really thinking that Phoenix is going to reach that eighth seed over a team like the Trailblazers or the Grizzlies who have right. it right now? I don't think so. They're not even going to pass New Orleans, who is like kind of a special surprise this year of their own right.
Yeah.
So
you have 9, 10, and 11 all tied, but both San, or yeah, Phoenix is what? Let me do something. 6 games out of the 8th spot, yeah. and they only have 8 games to play in for. I don't know, but you know what I'm thinking is that in order to do this 8, you know, 8 team or 8 game in playing season, is they're probably trying to reenact what it was happening during the season, because there were teams that were trying to fight for position. So maybe that's the whole point of it. They just try to get that excitement back in there.
Yeah, and you know, I think they put teams like the San Antonio Spurs in there, even though mathematically they're still sort of in it. It's probably just for posterity, really, for them to go in there. The Kings, they don't really have a shot, even though they're ahead of the Spurs. It's just these things that I'm looking at it, it's so, like, off-balanced as well. You have, like, so many teams from the West. You have 5 teams from the West and 1 from the East. At that point, I would have just done 3-3, even though the other 2 in the East wouldn't have gotten anywhere close. And then at that point, just make it 16. Like, I really, really like the idea of the 1-16 reseed, right? Where where the Raptors faced the Grizzlies at first. And I was like, mm-hmm. just wear your throwbacks every game. Just wear your throwbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Throwback courts and everything, too. That would have been amazing. I think all of Toronto was extremely excited if they got to see the Grizzlies. And you know, JV back in the mm-hmm. back in the building, too. But no, yeah, like you're right. I think this 9 seed thing, I don't really think it matters, but I don't know, I guess you're in the same boat when it comes to just give me some basketball back. But speaking about, you know, getting that home court advantage and like seeing some home courts back onto the ground, essentially, since everybody is heading to Orlando, that means that there's no more home court advantage, mm-hmm. right? So I know that there have been rumors about teams or the NBA allowing teams to bring their home court to Orlando for the playoffs. But besides that, there isn't really an advantage anymore because the crowd is such a big deal when it comes to the NBA. And, you know, the teams, they deserve to have home court advantage. So now that they don't have it anymore, quote unquote, what do you think they could do in order to give them these teams a certain home court advantage? I know I also heard rumors about home teams get to have like best hotel choice or something like that, which I don't see the point of that. But could you see any other ideas when it comes to home court advantage?
Well, I know that they are allowing their actual physical floors to be delivered down to Disney. So like
which
just
is
visually.
Crazy to me.
Yeah. Visually it might have some sort of advantage. I don't know how much the players tap into the aesthetics of things, but if it works, it works. I don't know. See, I was talking about this on my pod. Like, how do you show complete bias and unbiased to teams at the same time? So say the Raptors are going to face the Brooklyn Nets round one. Let's just say it falls that way, which it, you know, pretty much will.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Raptors will have home court advantage, so they
have game
one.
We're coming
for
you, Spencer Dinwiddie. Yeah. We're coming for you, bro.
And, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to pump in crowd noise? And if they do, like, say Dinwiddie's at the free throw line, are they going to pump in boos? They should.
Yeah, right?
They should, and they should be loud, because in Toronto, they'd be loud.
Oh, yeah.
And are they going to have, like, visuals in I guess they're not going to be stands, but, you know, behind the backboard of, like, people or something, like waving lines or something instead of people clapping and putting together those large inflatable sticks. Like, there's got to be something that they can do. Other than crowd noise, I don't know. I'm sure the NBA is going to think of something creative. It'd be really cool if somehow they can have like a giant screen around the court and you can actually like pipe in yourself.
Yes.
Like via Skype or Zoom or something.
Yeah. Oh.
And you crank up the volume. I think that'd be pretty dope.
That would be pretty cool. I have some ideas. Let me know. Let me throw ideas at you. Okay. I heard one. I think I'm gonna credit them. I heard from Free Association that the home team could decide what they would listen to when they have the ball, and then what the other team will have to listen to when the opposing team has the ball.
Mm.
That might be interesting. I have another one. Home teams get to have their families and friends attend the games.
Okay.
And then third is, I'm thinking about, think about the basketball court, okay? And then around it, you're going to have the boards for hockey. And so the boards for hockey, they have the glass, quote-unquote glass, right? What they can do is that, I'm taking your TV screen idea, project crowds onto those boards, so it seems like you're in, for the teams to seem like they're in the crowd as well, and also for the backboard to also be a quote unquote screen. So when you do free throws, you can see their, like, you know, the batons and like the balloons and stuff, just so they can distract them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like, they got to think of something, because the NBA, in terms of media relations and whatnot, they are able to do things top notch. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're able to put together, even like if it's up to the individual teams. First of all, the Raptors, as we know, top notch media relations. So if they're able to, you know, create these videos or create these suggestions that you've made with the sound and the crowd and whatnot to, you know, favor them a little bit, I think that would work out well. And this is Disney too. This is Disney money.
Yeah. This is like they're printing their own money right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody who has a Disney Plus subscription should be able to watch it for free. Let me just say that for now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Like Disney has the ability to make these things on the spot. And what better way to utilize those employees that have been pretty much sitting at home doing nothing, no disrespect to them, but given the circumstances of the past couple months. So if they're motivated enough to do that and to make these like cool, special things that will favor their team that they work for, come on, man, let's put them to work. Let's do it.
I think so. I think so too. And that's the thing. They still have a lot of time. What people don't really realize, and what I came to realization too, is that this is still just planned, right? This I guess you can say this is set in stone, and this has been agreed upon when it comes to the MBPA and the coaches and the owners as well. But this is still planned. we don't really know exactly. And like you said, with Arizona and Florida, they're starting to open up. But the problem is that their numbers for COVID cases are going up as well. So we don't know if the idea of bringing back all, like, you know, 22 teams is still a good idea. So maybe still in the works. But everything is still in the works, right? This whole how we're going to stream it online, we don't know how to do that either. How are there's going to be broadcasts? How are we going? Maybe we can watch it via VR. There's so many possibilities that can still happen, which I still believe that are in the works and that hasn't come out yet. I don't think that the entirety of like what the plan is out yet. I just think that the date is set and they even put it up to July 30th. So I think there's still a lot more to be told when it comes to coming back with the NBA. Now, not everybody is agreed upon to do this. There have been a couple of players, and you know, they didn't disclose the names, but they have been a couple of players that don't know that they've had some concerns about this whole Orlando bubble. There have been some players that have been hesitant to restart the season in Orlando. Some concerns include visitors, no visitors until the first round of playoffs, the inability to leave the Disney Resort. The environment could also impact a competitive drive, especially for players that are not in contending teams. So like what we said about Phoenix, what we said about Washington, do they really think that they can gain ground all the way to the A seed or for that play-in tournament? I don't know. And also, the social injustice issues that are going on in both countries, in both Canada and US, isn't going away either. And I don't want it to. That's the thing. I don't want it to either. And all of that stuff comes into play when it comes to thinking about the NBA coming back, and these players have been voicing their concerns. Do you think that, do you know where they're coming from? Like, obviously we don't know these players' names per se, and we don't know these players personally, but do you think that it's warranted that these players are, which should be concerned for going back into this Orlando bubble experiment?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, dude, this is something that has wreaked havoc on the world pretty much for the past 3 months. And, you know, you can have the on paper best game plan possible, the best game plan possible, thinking of a bubble, thinking of, you know, isolating players, which in my mind, like, creates kind of like this. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. Like, it kind of makes them seem like prisoners in their own right. Right. They're you can't go anywhere. Right. And I mentioned this before, like, imagine in round one of the playoffs, okay, Kyle Lowry and his family are allowed in the hotel room, right? He's got two young boys, right? And his wife, and they're in the hotel room. And you have to explain to these kids, hey, you can't go right over there. You see that big globe over there with the castle and all those kids are over there having a good time with their masks on? You can't go there. Like, that is a headache in and of itself. And this is the playoffs, right? So they have to be in top-notch mental condition. They can't have these distractions. And they have to go back into a hotel room, which, by the way, that the wife and the kids have to stay there, right? They can't leave that area. It creates a whole mess of problems. I can't see how this is going to be, you know, practical, really. So I totally understand where the players are coming from, because when it comes to winning a championship, regardless of the circumstances, and these circumstances are strange, regardless of the circumstances, you need to be ready. And I just can't see a situation in which they are going to be ready as well as they would if things were normal. Maybe you can look at that as, oh, this is an extra hurdle, so this is an extra difficult championship to win. Totally get that. But when you introduce the health problems, not just the mental health, but the physical health problems of this virus that we still don't understand the nature of it and its ability to probably find a way to creep itself into this bubble, then it's going to be a whole nother mess load of problems. Does LeBron James really want to risk that aspect of getting the virus potentially and missing the last 2 weeks if he makes it to the NBA Finals? Like, does he really want to do that? I don't know, man. So for me, like, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I don't see the point. I really don't. And I know that sucks to hear when it comes to an NBA fan. Like, it's a little counterintuitive being a Raptors/NBA podcast. But for me, it just doesn't make sense. I want to see my players safe. I want to see all the players play safely. And to me, this just isn't practical for me.
I think the risk is the risk right now is higher than the reward.
Yes.
You're talking about life or death right here. You know, and not only the players, if you're going to bring the families, then you have to, like you said, you're going to be have to concern about that. And yeah, Kyle Lowry has kids. All, a lot of these players have kids and of course their spouses. But then, dude, these players are also kids. Mm-hmm. You don't think like OG Anunoby, Zion Williams, these kids are like 19, 20 years old. You don't think they're going to want to go to Universal Studios and like ride the Hulk or something like three times in a row? There's no way. And I understand there's professionalism, but like these players are getting younger and younger, and you're not going to take age out of somebody, right? They're going to be kids because they're kids, and you're going to bring them to Orlando, Florida. So I understand like the need of coming back. I do. And the of course, as a sports fan, you want your favorite sport to come back and to watch, but I'm on your side. I've been on record saying that I don't think it should come back because the uncertainty of going on of everything that's going on. And I know that I want to apologize before when I meant by the social injustice, not saying that of course I want the injustice to stop. I don't want the I don't want the attention of people going out and protesting for their rights. I don't want that to stop. That's why there's a lot of things going on. And again, I think the risk is a little bit higher than the reward, but I have to give credit to the NBA. I have to give credit to Adam Silver for being the, I guess, championing this on. Right. Because like you said, everybody's kind of going through the same thing. It's not like just North America is going through this. The entire world is going through this. And someone like Adam Silver and his team is doing incredible work coming up with this plan. Right. And we can all say that, you know what, scrap the season. But this is their entire, this is their lives. And how to come bring a sport that we all love back into a world that's a little wonky right now. It's their job at this moment. But, you know, sometimes is the risk better than is it too high than the reward? You know, that's the question we'll have to ask. But all right, that's a lot of NBA talk, bro. I want to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to lighten the mood, and we're going to talk about some Disney characters, bro. So let's take a real quick break. The Rock! All right, Adam, I gotta ask you something, man. Did you see the PS5?
Oh, dude, it's so nice.
Is it? I know. Bro, I'm kicking myself, man. It's like $600, but do I want to give them my money?
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Dude, all right, I'm not trying to make light of the situation. I don't know the politics. I don't know how this is working. Again, I'm not trying to, you know, knock anyone's financial situation.
Yeah.
But if Canadian citizens are getting an extra $2,000 a month, and that is my understanding, if that's still happening, you can spare $600 here and there to buy the PS5.
I feel you. You know we're getting taxed for that. You know
of
that,
course
right?
You are. No doubt. Yeah.
I'm going to have to do some sort of, my wife is going to kill me, but she looked at it and it's like, she's like, is that from Inception or like Arrival or something? Cause it looks like some sort of spaceship. It looks cool, dude.
Yeah, it does, dude. Did you see the Spider-Man promo?
Miles Morales?
So good.
Guy. I know we're going off at a tangent right now, but we have to. I've been playing The Last of Us.
Okay.
Again, for like the fourth time, just in preparation for
Lights
Last of Us
2. Right?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? Lights off. Yeah. Like I got my headphones in.
Yeah.
No one's bothering me. And I'm just, the anticipation is killing me. So my FOMO is off the chain right now. But all right, enough PlayStation talk. I know there's going to be a lot of it, but okay. Let's lighten the mood up a little bit. Adam, you have a kid, and I know that you've got that Disney Channel going, you know, 24/7. Or if not, you got some characters going on. Hopefully that your kid wants to be a superhero or a princess, no matter whatever she wants to do.
Man, but she's already both.
Exactly. There she there you go. She's a radio queen. Yeah. The thing is, I was thinking, because the NBA is going back to Orlando, the home of Disney, I thought it'd be cool if we threw out some Disney character names and see if we could do some NBA player comparisons. What do you think, bro?
I'm in, dude. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. First up, we got Simba, the son of Mufasa. Who do you got for Simba? I have a feeling we might have the same person, but I'm intrigued who you have for Simba.
So this one was tough because when you gave me the list of these characters, I'm like, oh, that could be LeBron. Oh, that could be LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking all of it could be LeBron. True. So I had to break him down. So I'm thinking, all right, Simba. He was a wild little cub at mm-hmm. first, and then he matured and became king. And his dad was Mufasa, who was this like wise sage, right? So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, all right, well, the relationship isn't necessarily the same, but Masai Ujiri is the wise sage, right? Okay. And he's like, wise being. So I'm like, even though he's not his son, Giannis is sort of Simba-like, right? And at this point, he's still young Simba. Like, you know, Masai brought Giannis into this environment that, not the COVID environment, obviously, I'm talking about the NBA environment,
absolutely.
Right? He's still young, but pretty soon, after Giannis sings Hakuna Matata, he'll be the new king of the NBA and dethrone LeBron. I think he's the guy. So to me, Simba is Giannis.
That is not a bad comparison. I did not think of Giannis for Simba. I like it. I would definitely like it. I like the Mufasa. If we were to choose Mufasa, it would definitely be Masai. It has to be. But for Simba, I went, speaking about Hakuna Matata, I went with the more teenage years when it came to Simba. And someone who we know that's going to be incredible and probably going to be king after the LeBron era and after the Giannis era, I'm going to go with Zion. The young king, he's coming up. The NBA is trying to get him to go into the playoffs this year. Like there's no hiding it. So I went with Zion Williams as Simba, as soon to be king of the jungle.
I can see that. Yeah, he's still young. He's still a little cub right now, but eventually he might be.
You know he's gonna roar, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For sure.
All right. Well, speaking of Hakuna Matata, I have a duel for you, bro.
Okay.
One of my favorite duels of all time, Timon and Pumbaa. Give me a duel. It could be a funny duel. It could be like a Scotty and Jordan duel. Who do you got, man?
So I was thinking about this and I'm like, all right, so Pumbaa, he's kind of chubs, right? Whatever. But like, it's kind of hard to find a chubby NBA player. So because, you know, the cardio and all. So I'm like, all right, so who's the guy that's kind of like all out there, like all up in the cameras and stuff, and people kind of like don't take seriously. He's kind of funny, but not really. Yeah. And you got this like short, skinny guy that, you know, runs really fast or whatever. So I'm like, Steph and Draymond. Timon and Pumbaa, Steph and Draymond.
Okay. I like that. Stephen Draymond. Yeah, you got that. You can't go, you can't think about Golden State without either Steph, Draymond, or Clay, for that matter. But I definitely see the Pumbaa and Draymond going in there. Yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm gonna give a shout out to Christine, my wife, who thought, you know what? Let's think about like Lowry and Debo circa like 2017. That was a good Timon and Pumbaa duo. But who I picked was not last year, but the year before when they were teammates on the 76ers. I got to go with Toby and Bobby. Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic. You got Boban. I mean, obviously he's not like thick, but he's humongous,
right?
And he's going to be your Boomba. And then Tobias, I mean, he already got the T in there, so I'm going to give that to the Timon to Tobias right there. So the Toby and Bobby duel right there. Okay, moving on. Let's go with the Mickey Mouse. Let's go with the face of the NBA, I'd say. Yeah. And this probably could be LeBron in many situations. But before I say who mine is, who do you got for Mickey Mouse?
You nailed it, dude. It's LeBron. Like every time I was like, this could be LeBron, I was like, no, Mickey's gotta be LeBron. He's the head. He leads the pack, hands down.
Yeah.
Mickey.
Absolutely. Okay. I'd go hand in hand, but I'd go Steph Curry too.
Okay.
I wanna say Steph Curry is also the face of the NBA. Like both of them are synonymous when it comes to like who you think about when it comes to the NBA. You either have the young crowd with Steph Curry, you have the more, you know, mature crowd when it comes to LeBron James. So yeah, Mickey Mouse, that's more of a shoo-in. Okay, how about this one? Goofy. One of my all-time favorite characters, Goofy, the jovial, the happy, but has a really good heart Goofy character. Who you got, bro?
So I had to dig deep, right? Because I remember watching a Goofy movie as a kid. And I'm like, all right, what did I learn about Goofy from the Goofy movie? Because before a Goofy movie, you were like, all right, Goofy's just a goofy dude, right? He's a klutz. He's just Mickey's sidekick, whatever. He's not someone that you necessarily take really seriously in terms of what he can do as an individual. But then you watch a Goofy movie and you're like, all right, this guy's got a heart. This guy actually knows what he's doing. And not only that, you know, he's a good person. He's got morals. He's got ethics. So not only is he funny, but when it comes time to like get it done, Goofy's the man. Yep. So I picked OG. OG outside of the court.
Nice.
He's funny as hell, dude. Like, and you know, effortlessly funny as hell. But when it comes time to lock it down and defend against LeBron James in the playoffs, you can count on him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying OG is Goofy.
I like that. I like that. And I had a lot of players that I was thinking about. I was thinking Blake Griffin maybe, but no, he's actually a really good player. He's not too clumsy. I had a right away Dre, our co-host, already said JaVale McGee no matter what. JaVale McGee doesn't matter, so I'll give him that one. But for my pick, I went close to the Raptors as well. I picked Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah, I see that.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, he's jovial off the court, and teammates freaking love him. On the court, you know that his hands are kind of bricks, you know? He have to, like, hand the basketball to Bismack Biyombo for him to slam dunk it. But outside of that, he can't dribble, and he can't shoot. So, yes. I'm going to go with Bismack Biyombo. All right. So, this one I'm intrigued about the Beast. The one, the character from... what the hell is it? Oh, Beauty and the Beast,
bro. Come on. Yeah, his name's in the title.
Good Lord. Beauty and the Beast. The character who just wants to shut everybody out, but again, he has a good heart. And you know he's going to be there for you at the end of the day. I'll tell you who I got. Yeah. I have Kawhi.
Okay.
The player who just like, you know what? Don't worry about me. I got it. I got you. And when the times matter, I'm going to be a beast. And that's Kawhi.
I like it.
What do you think?
I like it. I can totally see that. And, you know, he's got that quiet demeanor, but when it comes time to lock it down, you're afraid. You want to stay away from him. I like it.
Absolutely.
He's a little frightening. I picked DeMarcus Cousins, and I'll tell you why. The dude is tough as nails with a bit of a temper. And I say that, you know, obviously tongue-in-cheek. He's got a huge temper.
Yes.
But I feel like he's been humbled by the injuries. The injuries have kissed him before the last rose petal has fallen. And now he's back to a prince that's been a little bit humbled, a little bit calmed down. He understands, like, you know, it's not all about the intensity. There's a place for it, of course, but when it comes to being angry all the time, when it comes to getting into fights, nah, man, I can't. If Zach Randolph still play, he'd be the beast. But right now, it's
Bro, that is well thought out. I appreciate you, you know, thinking about this real deep. That's a good pick. I like that. DeMarcus Cousins, he's probably humbled by, like you said, by his injuries, but he's still got a lot of game in him. You can tell he's still got a game in him. I hope he does come back healthy. Cinderella, you got to give love to the princesses, man. Cinderella, a huge character, the character that came from the rags to riches, and that's what came up to me the most when I thought about her character. She came up from, you know, having to clean all for her stepsisters, and then became the princess, the riches. So who do you have for Cinderella?
Siakam. He wasn't what he seemed to be, right? He wasn't. When you first saw him, you were like, this guy's not royalty. This guy's not an all-star. What is it? Mm. They gave Masai a D-plus grade when he drafted him, right?
That's
true. Not supposed to change the franchise until he found the glass slipper, right? And then he became royalty. He became an all-star. He became that guy that can lead a franchise. He became the franchise guy for the Raptors. Siakam to me is Cinderella.
That is a good ass pick. I thought mine was good, but that's a good ass pick. And I did stuck to home too, and I went Fred VanVleet. And I thought rags to riches. He came from not being drafted. He came from playing against two point guards to get that roster spot. And now last year he had a MVP vote for the Finals MVP. Rags, riches.
There right you there. Go. Yeah,
Fred VanVleet. All right.
And you know what? He also got his own shoe. So there you go.
There you go. And what, baby? There you go. Give me that glass slipper. All right. Genie, the oddly depicted in the latest Aladdin, but still very, very good character. One of the most known character, I'd say, in the Disney universe, and also as a character who would give you three wishes or any wishes that you want. I went, this is my LeBron. I'll give you that right now.
Okay.
It's LeBron to me, because he's the one who kind of like can, he can do whatever he wants. The NBA is in LeBron's hands, and it's always been LeBron's hands for the 18 years that he's been there. So for me, I got to go with Genie, the most powerful character in the world.
Yeah, I can see that. All right. And yeah, he's not blue, but still, you know, he's free. He's still king. I went with Kawhi on this one because grants the wish of a championship. And then once he gets that championship for that team, he wants to be free. He wants out. Did it with San Antonio. Did it for Toronto. And now, if he wins one with LA, who knows what's going to happen after that contract.
I'm going to throw in a pew, 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 pew for that one. Because that was a good-ass answer, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple more for you,
all right?
I was excited for this to come out in theaters, but before COVID, but I'm sad it didn't, and hopefully we will get to see it in theaters at one someday, or even in our comfort of our own homes. Also, one of my favorite characters, Mulan. Someone who has to prove that she's worthy all the time, to prove that, you know, to her family that she's also worthy as well. And before I go, I'm going to give it to you. Who is the Mulan in this NBA?
First of all, I want to say you're not alone when it comes to that live action adaptation of Mulan.
Seriously,
that looked awesome,
intense. So I'm sad and kind of glad that they're not gonna sing "Make a Man Out of You" because it's kind of, you know, the subject matter. But that was a dope ass song.
I went with James Johnson just because of the martial arts aspect, and he'll low key mess you up. Like, he is the guy that you just do not want to mess with. And there's still some, you know, Raptors lifeblood in there. People still look at them and say, you know, you're still a Raptor in my eye, even though you're not. I think right now he plays for the Timberwolves anyway. I went with James Johnson just because he'll mess you up and he'll do it with confidence.
Okay. I like that. I like that little, the Kung Fu reference, because you know who's going to kick your ass, man. Afro or not, James Johnson's going to kick your ass. I went with Kyle Lowry on this one. Because, you know what? I'm throwing out to all my Raptor fans out there, all the Raptors fans who, whenever somebody doesn't or casually brings up how Kyle Lowry chokes in the playoffs, everybody is going to back up Lowry, and he's going to prove it time and time again, just like Mulan. That's why I'm going to give it to the baddest ass in the Disney game and the baddest ass in the Raptors history, Kyle Lowry.
Hell yeah.
There you go. Last but not least, and I didn't, you know, I kind of threw this in there because you got some good side characters. You got Abu from Aladdin. You got Mushu from Mulan. I had to throw some love to the sidekicks, right? And this one doesn't have to be an NBA player. So I just thought it'd be fun to throw in, who's the best sidekick of the NBA?
Well, so I'm thinking, like, who compliments who well, and, like, there's a real relationship and mesh aspect to it. So at first I was thinking PG and Kawhi, but I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't even know if I believe in PG that much. Maybe that's a hot take, but I'm not sure. I'm not there. So the duo that scares me the most is AD and LeBron. So I had to go with AD, even though in his own right, he's more than just a sidekick. But when it comes to anybody next to LeBron, you're just a sidekick, bro. Just ask Kyrie. Yes. So yeah, I went with AD and LeBron.
I went with the non-player with this, and I had to go the best sidekick in the game and in any team. I'm sorry. It's got to go to Nav, man.
Yeah,
He's the best side. The person who compliments any team, you got to give it to Nav. Every single player on every single team knows who's Nav is. He's going to throw in a Hyundai, you know, Sentra for you, you know, if you come to Toronto. So you're good. Yeah. You're good. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Nav Badia. All right. That is it for today's episode. Adam, I got to say about The Rock, Adam Corsair of South of Six. You've been the OG since day one for us, and I know for a lot of other Raptor podcasts and NBA podcasts, but you have been true to the Raptors family. You don't even reside in Toronto. People, he doesn't even reside in Canada. His podcast is called South of the Six because he lives in Boston. Yes, in enemy territory, he lives in Boston, repping the red, the black, the gold, the dinosaur. Possibly it could have been the dragons for one day, but he is the South of the Six, and I thank you so much for joining us for today. If you want to plug anything, you know the floor is yours. please give it away, brother.
Well, first of all, Jason, thanks for having me on. And anytime you need someone that sounds like an idiot, you can come and call for me, and I'll be gladly to be that guy for you, no problem. But yeah, if you want to follow the podcast, like Jason said, I have the South of the Six podcast. Six is how the cool kids spell it up in Toronto, the number six and letters IX. You can find that on all your podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all of them. You can find them there. Subscribe. Give us a review. Listen to us on a weekly basis. We're still pumping out content, even though the NBA season hasn't been, you know, really active. We're still trying to put some stuff out there. Jason, you've been on quite a few times. You know the deal. So
yes, sir.
You can find on all the podcatchers. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, where I banter a lot about NBA stuff, you can do so. Same thing, South of the Six. And if you want to get to know the personal side of me, if you're just looking for some casual listening, my wife and I have a podcast. It's called While She's Napping. Completely un-NBA related, but if you need a break from all like the frustration of no NBA season, you can listen to me there. But anyways, dude, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a blast.
Not at all, man. And of course, you can find us at That's Rep Podcast on Twitter, That's Rep Podcast on Instagram, That's Rep Podcast on gmail.com. Follow us on all your podcatchers and on Twitter. You know, just interact with us, because you're going to find me, you're going to find Adam, you're going to find everybody who reps the Toronto Raptors. But until next time, boys and girls and everybody else, that's a wrap.